Power is not a great place for a good time. Does that sound profound? I guess it's not bad, considering it's nonsense. But that sentence concludes a research paper abstract written entirely by an iPhone's autocomplete function. That function is when you type one word and then your phone suggests more words to follow it. The document is complete gibberish, but it has been accepted to an international conference next month on nuclear physics. The paper's author, sort of, I guess, is Professor Christoph Bartnek at the University of Canterbury in New Zealand. We reached him in Christchurch.
Professor Bartnek, how did you come to write this document in the first place?
I received an invitation for a conference on nuclear physics, and this has really nothing to do with what I do in my research. And so this is not the first time I get this kind of invitation to all sorts of conferences, but this really seemed to be a bit off. And I had a bit of spare time, so I figured, okay, let's see how good this conference really is and if it's worthwhile. And I sat down and decided to just, you know, write a quick abstract because that was all that was required.
And what was the title of your abstract?
Oh, the title, well, it wasn't exactly my choice. It was my phone who made the decision for me. I only typed in atomic, and then the autocomplete of my phone completed that to atomic energy will have been made available to a single source.
So that was your title. And so, then you wrote the entire paper using your iPhone's autocomplete function. Is that right?
Right. You start a sentence with just atomic or nuclear or some other keyword that sort of seems to fit the conference, and then you just hit randomly the autocomplete function. And that kind of creates sentences where phrases seem to make sense, but the sentence as a whole really doesn't make any sense. And particularly from a scientific point of view, of course, this is complete gibberish. And then I just added, you know, the first graph that I could find on Wikipedia on nuclear physics, added some random nuclear physics references, and submitted it.
And what happened?
Well, at that time I was at a conference in Denmark on robot ethics, which was a really, really interesting conference. And 3 hours later, I received a notification that the paper got accepted, and I was sitting in a lecture at that time, and it was very hard for me to suppress my giggling, and it was really hard not to burst out into laughter. So it was good fun. But, I mean, as amusing it is for me, you know, to kind of like figure out how really non-existing standard this conference has, of course, there's a bit of a serious note here as well, because, you know, people or the general public who might read papers that get accepted at such conferences might be under the impression that, you know, that the content presented would be trustworthy and valuable, and that might actually have influence on their lives and on the policies we create. So we shouldn't be so lighthearted about it, because it is really, really big problem when you get gibberish accepted under the idea that this would be proper science.
Can you give us a few examples, some of the lines, that are in your paper?
All right, I'll just start from the top. Atomic physics, and I shall not have the same problem with a separate section for a very long, long way. Nuclear weapons will not have to come out the same day after a long time of the year. He added the two sides will have the two leaders to take the same way to bring up to their long ways of the same as they will have been a good place for a good time at home, the United Front, and she is a great place for a good time.
Oh, my gosh. And this was accepted. This is the International Conference on Atomic and Nuclear Physics, which is to be held in Atlanta, Georgia in November. They accepted this.
Yes, they did. Although, I mean, at that time, I didn't look too closely at this kind of conference. I mean, they seem to make a lot of effort in trying to give themselves the appearance of being properly science. But as soon as you start to drill in to like, hey, what's up with this conference, you know, a lot of question marks arise. For example, I couldn't figure out where exactly is it going to be held. Like, is it the conference venue? Unknown. The conference organizers? Pretty much unknown. There are what we call predatory journals and predatory conferences out there that their only intention is to make a quick buck out of researchers who don't spot, you know, the scam, you know, and send the money and off you go. So it's a real threat, I think, to the public funding of research because, you know, it's very easy to waste your money this way. But it's also a very serious concern about, you know, giving potentially gibberish the appearance of being scientific. And a lot of my students ask me, you know, where should they send their papers, and so I think we have got an obligation to inform the public and the students about, you know, okay, these are really good conferences and good journals with a good reputation, and these things over there, they're just trash.
How much money were they asking for?
Around $1,000 US for registration.
What was your fake identity?
Oh, right. Well, I figured out that this is all done on Apple iPhone. I figured it would be most appropriate to make a little spin on Apple Siri. So I created an identical, not Siri, but Iris, and not Apple, but Pear. And I put in the address of the headquarters of Apple Computers in California. And I took the picture of the voice actress who was actually speaking Siri. So and whoever would have looked at this would have been clear that, you know, this is a fake idea. But again, I don't think that anybody really looked at it. I think the persons or the people organizing this, they just click the accept button and hope the money gets transferred, and that's all there is to it.
All right. Professor Bartnick, alias Iris Pear, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Christoph Bartnick is an associate professor at the University of Canterbury, and we reached him in Christchurch, New Zealand.